On the fourth week of Christmas, Christian got me a gift, an ornament for my Christmas Hanukkah tree. Hey, Christian, thank you so much for the ornament for my Christmas tree. I'm Jewish, but I will get a Christmas tree to hang my Tom Cruise ornament. And a gift for you guys is our new format of the Minute Impossible podcast. From now on, we're going to be weekly on Wednesdays, but we're going to go over 3 minutes at a time. So enjoy this first foray into the new format, and I hope you guys enjoy. Have a great holiday, and Merry Christmas from Minute Impossible.
Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the Mission Impossible franchise 1 minute at a time. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
I'm Travis.
And I'm Jarf.
Well, we're back. How's everybody been since last week? Since we totally just... This is not the first time we've recorded in 7 months. We totally record all the time. We just went on hiatus. We already had these banked. Chris, how was your 7 month vacation?
I'm still in quarantine.
Well, I say 7 month vacation. It's gonna be longer than that once these actually come out. Chris, how was your eight month vacation?
Same as it was when we left.
Yeah, mine too.
Still doing stuck the inside. Same.
How about you guys? Our guests tonight, if you don't know them, I like to call them two of the quieter guests. In that, I don't mean quiet like they don't talk. I mean quiet as in they have a reflective, almost urbane nature to the way they talk and the way they make jokes. They're not like Rob. They don't just scream and cackle like a goofball. They're not George. They don't just do dumb puns. They're well thought out. So,
well, most people aren't then, which is good.
You know? Right. Right. Most of our guests are just, you know, crazy, insane people. So, I'd like to say the most level-headed guest we have, it's Travis Bowe and Jarf Harden. Welcome, guys, to the podcast. Welcome back. I know it's only been a week since you last heard these episodes, right. But welcome back.
Well, thanks for having us. That's quite the build up there.
Well, no one has ever referred to me as urbane on a podcast yet, or in life ever.
Listen to them. Listen to how polite they are. Ugh, it's sickening. It's sickening. This podcast is not known for its dick jokes, but I do enjoy a good dick joke. I'm just saying. So, we've actually upped it up this week. So, enjoy this week and also our new format. It's bright and shiny. Look our new studio. Look around, Chris. It's a new format, new studio. It's
the green room has all kinds of nice snacks. That was nice.
Well, yeah,
we've got those sanitary robots. We got rid of
that carpet that we had in the green room. That stuff wasn't good after 2 years. So I'm super happy. We're back. This is our weekly podcast that comes out once a week and covers 3 minutes of the Mission Impossible movies. And it's Mission Impossible 3.
Are we so Minute Impossible? I mean, wouldn't it be like...
I'm not changing it to Minutes Impossible.
Minutes Impossible?
I'm not changing it.
You got an established brand. You can't go willy-nilly, you know.
Cannot go willy-nilly.
We could do like the Mission Impossible movies, Minute Impossible, 3 minutes at a time.
Oh, I like that. Well, we already are doing that. We're doing that, though. So you're saying the promotion, when I put the promotions out for these, the end of the hiatus, we come out as we're Mission Impossible 3. 3 minutes at a time.
Exactly.
No, just a nice pause. Mission Impossible 3 minutes at a time.
Minute Impossible. Pause 3.
Wait, Minutes Impossible or Minute?
No, Minute Impossible.
Okay.
Colon 3 at a time, you know?
Okay. 3 dot 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 at a time.
At a time, exactly.
And then next year it'll be four at a time. By the way, we are going to do that. As we get to further and further ahead on these movies, I'm going to speed up how many minutes we're going to do.
No. The next one will be Mission Impossible, Fourth Protocol.
Oof, that's good. I like that. Mm-hmm. And the Fourth Protocol is we watch 4 minutes at a time.
At a time, yeah. Exactly. Okay, then we got to come up with something for Rogue Nation. You know?
I got you. Okay. This all makes sense. Chris, thank you for having thought this out over the past 8 months. I really appreciate
it. Of course. That's exactly what I was doing. 8 months in my room just thinking about that. You know?
Like, what are we going to
call
the show?
They're just reams and reams of paper.
No. I just wrote it on the
Chris
wall.
Chris is scurled. Just write it on the wall.
There is no Beautiful Pepe Silvia. Style.
Who is Kaiser Soze?
Kaiser Soze.
So to pick back up right where we left off last week, minute 22. Oh, God, I wish it was 122, but it's not. It's 22. So we have not talked about 100 minutes of this movie yet, but we're going to. This is the big scene in Germany when they have gotten Kerry Russell back. They have just jumped out of a window and have landed on the van, on Luther's van. And right before this scene, right before this happened, Ethan had thrown what we refer to as a magnetic butt plug onto a gas pipe and is now exploding that butt plug and telling them to go, go, go. So, and it ends with everyone getting in a helicopter but not with Billy. So when we get there.
Doesn't make any sense without Billy.
No, it's, you know what? The voice is going to be Billy no matter what, 'cause I'm not doing the other guy's voice. So it's Billy. No. It's in theory, it's Billy too. It's Billy 2 minutes at a time.
Irish Billy instead of Australian Billy.
Irish Billy, yes. So, guys, it's your first time on this season. We can start with your thoughts, or we can wait until the end of the episode to talk about your thoughts. What would you rather do about this movie? Like, about the movie, not about this minute. That's right. Insane.
The movie as a whole.
Yeah. What do you think of the third Mission Impossible movie. Wow. I said it was clean and urbane, and look what happened.
I watched this movie, I don't know, a couple months ago, and it's not as good as I remembered it being, or it's not as good as I thought. I thought everyone loved this movie and talked it up and was like, oh, this is, that's when they started to get good, which might be right. But watching it, it's like, it's fine. It really is just.
It is. It's fine.
It's a movie.
It's We everyone knows how we feel about it, but I'm trying to, you know, we've had so much negativity over the past 11 months that I'm not trying to say that you're wrong or we should make in any way change what you're saying. I just can't think of a way to make this positive. I am positive this is a mediocre movie.
Yeah.
I like parts of it. This is one of those parts.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. I think Chris agrees with you in that it's lacking something. It's lacking
a started on this next week. Don't get me started on that helicopter sequence next week. Oh my God.
Yeah. So, and Jarf, what about you? What do you think about this third movie? Since you've, it's firmly entrenched that you like one, you like two.
Firmly entrenched for sure. I was definitely having a lot more fun when I was watching and we were talking about Mission Impossible 2. It's give me just weirdo stylized super extra Mission Impossible over this like too sterile and too dark.
And corporate. It'll get corporate later, and everyone loves a good corporate spy movie.
Who doesn't love a corporate spy movie?
Where they're in offices and you're like, oh no, he has coworkers? Blah, I have coworkers. No.
but I do see it evolving into, I haven't seen, as you know, I like to follow along with the podcast.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen all of the sequels, but I did see Rogue Nation like before. So I got into all of this.
Did you see Ghost Protocol? Have you seen the next one?
No, I have not seen Ghost Protocol.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but I really liked Rogue Nation, and I see how Mission Impossible as a franchise works when it has really well done action set pieces. And I feel like they're trying to get there in this movie. And there's a lot in these 2 weeks that I did like. But then the darkness just drags it down and the creepy villain drags it down. So like on a balance, not my favorite.
You don't like the creepy villain so far.
I don't like the creepy villain so far.
Okay, well, that's where I think everyone else might disagree. I feel he's a great villain. He's just crazy. Mm-hmm. It's just, I mean, is it the best? Is this his best work? That is an argument for the ages. I think we talked about it last week. Don't know about that, but
I don't think he's enough of a villain. That's my problem with it.
Wait, you don't think he's eating enough scenery?
No, I just don't think he's doing enough other than eating scenery. It's like,
I think it's the MacGuffin. I think the MacGuffin is the problem why he doesn't do enough, because there's nothing.
Well, that goes back to the script, you know, and that's part of the issue. Mm. You know,
so. Well, yeah. Like I watched this movie a few months ago. I don't remember what Davian's plan is. I think he's a weapons dealer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's to get the rabbit's foot.
Okay. Right. Okay. Yeah, I agree with Jarf that, you know, the second one is just wacky in places, and I really like the second one. That's one that I watched many times in theater, and then over the years watched a lot. Yeah,
I agree with you on that.
One has a little bit of that. Like, there, some of this week's action scene is a little out there, and it's still fun. But yeah, I think did the Bourne movies come out between 2 and this one?
Mm, yeah, so yeah. There was a level of, oh, we got to do it gritty like this. Everything's,
I think that's
be blue.
What it is.
Yeah, I agree.
Plus, they were trying to reset it from
negativity of 2. I mean, in my mind, I had a problem with 2, and now I love 2. And now 3, I'm like, in my mind, I was like, 3 was great. And then I'm like, 3 is fine. Mm-hmm. 3 is, okay, here we go. Here's my 3 is Fast 4. Mission Impossible, it's like, it's fine. It's not, they haven't figured out the formula. The fourth movie, Ghost Protocol, that is Fast 5. They're like, we got it.
Yeah.
The Rock, crazy stuff, be bigger. And so they've done it within reason. I mean, they haven't gone to the level of Fast and Furious, but I do feel
I think
a franchise of this level.
Four and 4 really made a big difference. You know, involving Simon Pegg's character, involving even Jeremy Renner and the other characters. I think that made it.
Bring back the team. The whole point of the TV show that everyone liked was there was a team.
Yep.
And then the first movie, they had a team and they killed them to make it. And then they got another team, the B team.
Wasn't really a team, you know.
No, because two of them were traitors. Basically, they put together Luther and 2 traitors.
Yeah.
So,
which is basically kind of what most of the movies have been up until this one, Luther and one other person, you know?
Yeah. And this team is, to me, the most forgettable team.
Yeah.
We have. And we're going to see them this week and next week.
Yeah.
Really shine. I shrug my shoulders, like, really shine. I don't really, you know.
You wouldn't think after Mission Impossible 2 that you could have someone that feels like a step down from Billy. But somehow they managed to do just that.
I'm like, Billy, man, Billy's gone up in my estimation. I mean, before it was like, why is Billy in this movie? Now it's like, God, why isn't Billy in this movie?
Because Billy was kind of the howling mad Murdoch helicopter pilot that this one needs, you know?
Yeah. Everybody needs a thing. And I know they were trying to, everyone was trying to have a thing. Again, that goes back to the script. There may be some thing on the cutting room floor or in script rewrites where those characters had more fleshed out characters.
Well, I think the biggest issues with the films up until Ghost Protocol was that they were Tom Cruise driven. Because Ghost Protocol started out not Tom Cruise driven because they were going to replace him, you know?
Yeah.
But this one, every one of them from the first one to this one, maybe not the first one, but at least the second and third one, they were like, oh, Tom Cruise is into John Woo right now. Let's make that. Oh, Tom Cruise is into Alias right now. Let's make that. And that's what we're getting here is Alias through Tom Cruise, you know, and J.J. Abrams being given millions of dollars to do what he wants.
And Tom Cruise has been getting a lot of kudos recently from some sides that about yelling at his crew about COVID. If you didn't know about it, go listen to it. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't know if anyone on this call feels it's not awesome. Anyone want to be counterpoint, or is everybody good?
I'm indifferent about it.
Okay, he's indifferent. Okay, good. Good. That's even better. But I think that it's another kudo on his lapel to say he understood after this movie that this wasn't working. And after the next movie, when it's a team movie and they were thinking about not having Tom Cruise on there anymore. And then they did, and they just doubled down.
Yeah. Like midway through, it's like, oh, let's keep him.
What it does is I think it shows that Tom Cruise was like, no, this is actually better this way. And I think he mm-hmm. and Vin Diesel and all these guys and Justin Lin, all these guys noticed, they're like, these movies are better the more people we put in them. And the more interesting things we do, people really enjoy this dynamic, no matter what it is. And Benji's a great dynamic, like no matter what, like he's always in these now. Yeah, and he's perfect.
And I think a lot of it also has to do with him bringing in McQuarrie at the midpoint of Ghost Protocol last mm-hmm. time around, when they shut down and they brought him in. The whole dynamic of the film changes. You can feel it too, as the film moves. You can see things where it's like, okay, that's somebody else's idea there that wasn't originally part of it. You can feel it. And I like that, but at the same time, it's really not fully formed to me until Rogue Nation and then, of course, Fallout. So I'm interested to see how 7 and 8 turn out with everything that's going on.
It's going to be interesting. Yeah. Let's actually talk about this minute. The bomb has gone off, and they are on top of this nasty truck. This is Luther's van.
Luther's taco truck.
His German taco truck.
Real quick on the explosion that goes off, there is absolutely a James Brown scream mixed into the sound mixing when that bomb goes off. Whoa. Like from I Feel Good, you know, that scream that starts that song. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you listen to it again, it's, you know, it's something that just sounds a lot like it, or it is.
It's like there. When they put the tiger roar in the explosions, like in Mask of Zorro.
Yeah.
Get that tiger roar in there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I like that. I like them adding other people's voices in to make explosion noises.
I can't have his laugh. Tom Cruise's laugh, you know.
Carrie Russell is and Tom Cruise do a kind of a cool slide move off the roof because she's right now amped up on adrenaline, but she's having like this, don't you hear it, like kind of moment where she's just in excruciating pain and no one else knows why she's in pain
because she's hearing the ringing in her head.
Mm-hmm. And
I like the slide move off the truck. It's all done in camera. There's no, I mean, they might be on wires doing that, but they slide off the truck and immediately start running. And it's a good little easy stunt for them to do.
And that, I think, that's a TV. I think that's JJ saying, hey, would you guys mind just sliding off the truck?
Right.
Like onto a pad. And they're like, yeah, sure. Okay. It does look good. And then we have to RSVP his van. Luther's van is going to go the way of the dodo here in a second because we've got some bomb. That is a janky looking bomb. It's mm-hmm. I expected more. We had the magnetic dildo. I kind of expected a better butt plug. Excuse me, not dildo. Do love a good dick joke. Maggie Q puts it on there. Zen.
Is that her name? Okay.
Is it pronounced Zen or is it Zane? It's Zhen.
Okay. Zhen.
Yeah, is it Zhen? I'm going to call her Zen until I hear it again, because I know he said it a couple times. But anyway, Maggie Q puts the bomb on, and they blow up his truck. Well, they're about to. And they all jump into the helicopter, and Irish Billy is there. It's our first real Irish Billy in a helicopter scene. Other than him being like saying, come pick us up. Okay, I'll come pick you up. This is the first time we've seen him in the helicopter actually doing helicopter things. And they've laid Carrie Russell down, and she's still screaming about hearing something, and she doesn't know why. And Ethan is definitely looking at her saying, well, I don't know what's wrong with her right now either. So
hold on a second, though, because I had something about Irish Billy.
Uh-huh.
So they see this enemy helicopter coming towards them. And Irish Billy announces, we've got company. I'm going to try to lose them. And it's just already he has just come like right off the bat. So ineffective. I realize that is partially for the audience's sake, but obviously you're going to, you don't have to announce everything that you're going to do.
Yeah, we got it. He also was really unclear as to if they were, everyone was in the helicopter yet. That starts when they jump in. He's like, is everyone in? Yeah, man. Go, dude. Like, yeah. You know what? Why don't you start going and we'll tell you if we're not in yet. How's that sound? We're special agents. We'll make sure we're on by the time you're going up in the air.
Yeah, they should have a signal worked out. Like when you put somebody in a taxi cab and then you hit the top of the cab and they drive away.
Well, if you hit the top of a helicopter, your hand will be cut off. So, yeah. I do like that. That's a good universal. That's a universal motion of, all right, good to go.
Yep. Yeah.
It's also for cops. I see it in movies a lot when like you put the guy in the back of the car and they ready to go.
The back of an ambulance.
Back of an ambulance. Yeah, they slam the door and then they hit the door. Like you need to hit the door that you closed in.
Yeah.
Right. In an ambulance, Billy opens up that little shutter. It's like, is everyone in? You just heard the doors close. Yes, we're all in. Let's go. I'm going to take him to the hospital. Yeah, Billy, we know. I think Billy may just be the Rick Ollier of the movie from now on. He's just going to be Mr. Says what he sees.
It's like Galaxy Quest and Star Trek. That's it's her job just to repeat what the computer says.
I like Kerry Russell's pain acting in this minute.
You know what? Pain acting is never something we should scoff at. I was just watching an episode of West Wing, and it's the one where Leo McGarity has a heart attack. It's in season like 5 or 6. And it's such good pain acting. Like, I feel his chest constricting. Like, he does it like kind of like a like it's not like some movies are like, you know, they grab themselves like you know, like on Sanford and Son. You know, kind of move your arm.
I'm coming.
Move your arm around. That's kind of like, all right, that's fine. But like, he does it. Yeah, she has good head pain acting.
I think it's because she's thinking back to the time she had to cut her hair.
Yeah. Oh my God, why did I cut off my hair?
Why did I cut my hair? Why, JJ? Why did you make me do that?
It never grew back curly. It grew back straight. No. At least I think that was her curl. Were her curls real?
I think they were for a while.
Only her hairdresser knows for sure.
Yeah, sure. She's got a salon perm. No, Ogilvy.
That's why they put her in that mask and that helmet in Rise of Skywalker.
Yep. They're like, oh my God, she's got curly hair again. We can't go back after all of her years on The Americans. Her hair finally came back, and she cut it off again after The Americans. She got really tired of it and just went bald and came back super curly. I feel like Maggie Q is like annoyed that Kerry Russell is in pain.
Yeah.
This whole scene's kind of like, can we just get her on the helicopter already? I don't know if that's meant to happen or if that's Luther seems distressed.
They're over there thinking white privilege. Come on, guys.
Oh, yeah.
If it was one of us, you guys would have left us.
Oh, yeah. Maggie Q stubs her toe. Leave her. No, it's just leave my toe. She's dying. I'm fine.
Kerry Russell, let's go save the white girl.
Luther's like, I have to get on the helicopter immediately because I know at any point I can just be left.
Exactly. They don't have a chance.
I've seen every horror movie. Maggie Q would put that bomb on me and blow me up along with my van.
Here, hold this, Luther.
Oh, what? No.
Well, if we know you got bad knees. Sorry.
Yeah. If anyone's going to get outrun in this movie, it's going to be Luther.
Sure. Yeah. That's why he's always ahead. He's like, yeah. You want to help me with? You want to help
me? He's already always in the helicopter sitting already.
You want to? Oh yeah, he's already there. It'd been better. He'd already left the like Maggie Q had to drive the truck because he left 10 minutes ago to go get the helicopter. Because he's like, look, it's happened before. I've not been in the helicopter.
Things are gonna go sideways. I better leave now.
It's dark. It's really dark. No one can see anything. It's very easy. Did we leave Luther again? Situation.
Yeah, it happens at the beginning of Fallout too, you know. It's like, oh crap, we left Luther.
Yeah, we lost him. They lose him.
Exactly.
More than once. Got to keep up with our Luther. We love Luther.
Mm-hmm.
He's our precious throughput through these movies. I mean, Tom Cruise. Of course, we love Tom Cruise, and of course, we love Ethan Hunt. But Luther is our attainable.
Yeah.
like, if any of us are going to be in the Impossible Mission Force,
they can't.
We have to be the Luthor.
Luthor. You can't kill off Luthor. You
know? I think Jarf can. Jarf can run, so Jarf would actually like runs a lot. So Jarf would actually be able to keep up. He's the Maggie Q. He's the slender runner.
Yeah.
The rest of us, let's be honest, we're all Luthor.
Yeah. Yeah. Jarf can help. Also annoyed with all of you. So,
yeah. Why are you so annoyed with us?
Some of us are professionals.
Oh, okay. Anything else at this minute?
It ends with a nice freeze frame of Tom Cruise's like F-bomb.
It does look like he's about to make the F-bomb. He's like,
yeah.
It's like the sound of F. Yeah. I wish I knew what it was, but I don't. I'll never know until the next I almost said the next episode. Ha ha! We're not doing the episodes anymore. It's going to come up right now.
Right.
Yeah. If we're wrapped up with this, with our new format, what'll happen is, remember those, remember that tone you used to hear when you turn the page in a Disney book? That's when what's going to be tone, in here. And that
when you hear Lando say, "How you doing?" and you turn the page.
Oh, yeah.
How you doing, Chewbacca?
Well, we got to come. Well, since you guys are on, we need to come up with something that is Mission Impossible centric. So if you guys are the ones deciding what the tone is going to be, like, we'll turn the page and go to the next minute when you hear.
Maybe like lighting that ignition for the, you know, the.
Okay, that's good. There are no wrong answers.
Luther's saying, Ethan, Ethan, Ethan.
Oh, that's good I think too.
If you can do a quick little clip of "Well done, Hugh."
Well done, Hugh is a good one. Oh, I kind of like that. That's going to have to be it. Yeah, it's "Well done, Hugh." Until another one comes up, until someone could outdo that one, "Well done, Hugh" is our page turning sound effect. So here we go. Let's turn the page.
Well done, Hugh.
Oh man, that felt good when he said that, didn't it?
Oh. Yeah, cigarette.
Yeah, I got that old feeling.
Oh yeah, I feel like he. So happy. That was well done. We have moved on to minute 23.
It could have been gagging for it. Gagging for it.
No, I don't think our listeners need to hear that much.
It's upsetting.
Like twice time. A week. Twice in an episode. I don't know. Yeah, it doesn't have legs. But we are now in minute 23. Minute 23, it begins with the end of his F-bomb, which is not an F-bomb. He's saying, what, fly? Move?
Maybe fly.
And then that's when they see the helicopter that Jarf was talking about, the Apache helicopter. Do we know exactly what kind of helicopter it is?
I don't think it's an Apache, but yeah, I don't know exactly what kind it is, but
there's only some way to figure it out. Oh, well,
yeah,
it's a bad guy helicopter,
bad guy helicopter. It's one of the thin ones.
It's a fireproof helicopter.
Yeah. When they blow up the van, they don't blow up the helicopter and it flies right through it. And I was like, man, that would have been a good.
Is it Blue Thunder?
Ooh, yeah. That'd be awesome. And I kind of wish they thought that was going to cover their escape.
Yeah.
Because when it goes through the flame, they're like, oh no, what do you got to do to stop it?
I mean, don't they know that a helicopter's top is just a big fan? It just blows the heat right back down. It's all fine.
I kind of wish that this helicopter did get destroyed by the van a second helicopter.
A bigger helicopter.
There's always a bigger helicopter.
I mean, this helicopter is, if you've never seen what Jarf looks like in real life, Jarf is this helicopter. It is lean. It is, it's lean and it's
fast.
Fast and lean. And Jarf also fireproof.
Right. Exactly.
Well, yeah. See, this whole sequence bothers me. You know, it reminds me of the review that Roger Ebert did of Return of the Jedi.
Or Robert Ebert, his brother.
Robert Ebert, exactly. Roger Ebert did for Return of the Jedi, where he's like, I don't understand why they're going through the woods. Why don't they just fly over the woods? Same thing here. I don't understand why they're going through the windmills. Just fly over them. You're in a helicopter.
Well, the windmills are like the asteroid field.
Yeah,
they're in a more maneuverable helicopter, so they figure it's going to be easier to lose them that way.
Yeah, in a straight-out chase, their helicopter doesn't stand a chance against this attack.
This whole sequence has always bothered me from the first time I've seen it till now. It's just like, I don't like it. I don't like the camera work on it. I don't like the editing on it. I'm just like, oh my God, this could get
the whole helicopter. This whole scene, I'm trying to figure out what's practical, what's miniature, and if there's any CG. Because there's a lot during this, and we'll get to it in this entire week. Like how, like as they this is our first, we see the wind farm. They're flying into the German wind farm. They've flown out of the German bakery. I think I don't remember what we called it from before, the brick house. They've now flown into a wind, into a, you know, where there's a bunch of wind farm with a bunch of those rotor things. And right now we're getting Dr. Ethan is doing a good job of checking your eyeball. She's like, it hurts. So I'm going to shine a really bright light in your eye. Cause I'm sure whatever it is, I can see it in your eyes. And then we get a lot of Irish Billy flying and a lot of Kerry Russell screaming.
Yeah.
This is well shot. I didn't mind. Chris, you were saying you didn't like this. Do you not like the interior shots, or is it the just exterior shots?
My biggest complaint about it is whenever the camera shakes in a J.J. Abrams movie, whether it be this one, Star Trek, or anything, I've seen him do it, and I know that he's standing there shaking the camera ridiculous amounts, and it bothers me. Every time I see him actually do it and see it on screen, it just doesn't feel right to me. It feels
and they don't do it digitally? Like it's easy?
No, it's him sitting there holding the magazine to the camera and shaking it.
Hmm.
And it just, as a camera person and as a film person, I'm just like, it bothers me. So I can't watch it with take it seriously, because I'm like, I know that's J.J. Abrams over there shaking the camera too much. And it's too much to me. It's like a little bit is fine, but he's like he's basically humping it. And I'm like, stop. It doesn't need to shake that much.
It does.
You're not Paul Greengrass. Come on.
I didn't like it technically either, but there was one little shot that I did enjoy. Right after Irish Billy says, guys, the missiles are hot. So Luther, like, it looks like he's just peeking his head out of the helicopter to look and see that this slender Jarf helicopter is chasing them and about to shoot them. And he's like, oh, it's just a really funny, like much more of a comic beat than anything
else. It's a hardened copter.
Yes.
That sounds gross. It sounds grosser than it is, but it's a hardened copter.
Technically, it's just, it's all over the place. Like there, you can't, it's hard to make sense of where you are spatially in the sequence. Similar to the car chase in The Rock, where the camera's so close on each of the driver that you're like, okay, where are we now? I mean, it makes more sense on TV than it did in this with big screen, but
I think as you start to like really go through this, you start to see one. I didn't notice until now. I'm sure there've been lens flares,
but this is where they're like a lot of lens flares.
Yeah, there are a lot of lens flares, and he does a lot of the smash zooms where something happens and he smash zooms into it or smash zooms out of it so you can see it moving. Like there's one I think in one of the later minutes where one of the windmills loses a rotor, and he smash zooms out, and all of a sudden you see it land, and it's like, okay, that feels fake. It doesn't feel real. Like a real camera wouldn't be able to film that, you know?
Sure.
So,
and I also felt like it was giving it like too much importance. I know that. So, I know that's like minute 24, but when they focus in on that broken windmill rudder, and it's like, what's gonna happen now this rudder's broken? And then it's like, I guess it's like kebabs a sheep.
It could have cleaved a sheep. Ooh, that would have been great, but it was a little too Cloverfield for me. It's like, oh, the camera's moving too much, let's focus on that, like it's Statue of Liberty's head. So that's just something that's the nitpick of my end, though, you know. I get that it works for other people, it just doesn't work for me.
Gotcha. All right. In this, we also get our first real, other than the butt plug, first real tech of the ep, which, by the way, we'll be doing at the end of – from now on, we're not doing it every – it's the tech of the eps. We have to add S's to basically everything. Minutes Impossible, techs of the eps. We're gonna have to put a lot – invest in a lot of S's.
Tech of the eps. Yeah.
Techs of the eps. Tech of the eps.
Techs of the eps. Of the epniques.
And we see it right at the end. We see this little scanner and a little, it's kind of a Dr. McCoy style Star Trek scanner. It's got the little wand on it. It's like, you know what it is? It's like that mouth thermometer that they used to use at the doctor's office when you were a kid. It had like a little box attached to it and a cord for some reason. And they
pre-COVID.
And that cool thing that they would like hit the button and it would like shoot off the top, the plastic thing that goes in your mouth.
They still use that for the most part. Before COVID, they were still using that.
Yeah. I have a feeling they're going to have to come up with a new way of doing that.
Mm. Oh, yeah. And they got the guns now. They shoot you in the head. Beep, beep, beep. I get it done every day. So.
He lives in Texas, so it's very violent there.
Exactly. Shoot me in the head with the gun.
They put a gun up to your head and like, do you have a fever? No.
No, it's all that Anton Sugar thing from No Country for Old Men. He's put it to her head, flip a coin. Okay.
And I guess we're seeing, seeing inside of her brain, it's a portable x-ray.
Some kind of, sonogram, ultrasound.
Yeah.
And they just have that as a part of their first aid kit.
Sure. That's one of the things.
Oh, no. Maybe it's that sonogram that he bought for Katie Holmes when they were pregnant. That was around this time.
Too soon.
It's been 10 years. Come on.
If anything, it looks like the inside of like what your eyeball looks like when they take a picture for a glaucoma test.
Oh, yeah.
But I guess it's her brain and sinew and junk. Brain junk.
She says, it hurts so much. And then I think makes some gargling noises. And then it sounds like she says, puppies. So,
puppies.
Yeah. I don't know if she's trying to like think nice thoughts to, deal with the pain.
Go to her happy place.
Yeah.
Puppies.
The wind farm, though, I do think is a good visual backdrop for a helicopter fight.
Sure. If you're going to have a helicopter fight.
Lots of spinning blades all around.
Yeah.
I'm looking up the wind farm, which one it was. Hold on. I had it. I had a note on it. Wind turbine. It's the... Okay. Hold on. It's the San... Oh, Jesus. San Gorgonino Pass Wind Farm in Palm Springs. So, it's not
Germany.
No, it's Palm Springs. Just so you know. And it's the, let's see, I'm trying to see. No, that was it. So
you can add that to the Minute Impossible walking tour?
Sure. If you're ever in Palm Springs, you can go see the German wind farm from Mission Impossible 3. I'm sure they don't get a lot. Maybe there's a plaque. Maybe there's like a goat like severed by a blade. And it's just like MI3 was done here. I would have just left the blade in the ground. And
blade though. That wasn't real.
Wondering.
No.
Is that a miniature or is that CG?
CG.
We haven't even gotten to it yet. Okay. Yes. Okay. It's CG. All right. That's what I wanted to know. Well, cause some things I thought they could have done with like some clever, force perspective miniatures, like when they hit the bottom, one of the missiles, the missile lock that, Luther looks at, it hits the bottom of a windmill and one of the windmills starts falling over. And you can only see that like the top, maybe 15 feet of the bottom base of, wonder if that's just like a small little miniature they just made fall over in the foreground and then added other stuff, comped in other things, but I can't tell. We'll get to it.
Yeah.
Luther's still not saying anything. It's just the annoyed look of Maggie Q and the worried look of Luther as they fly through the wind farm. I'm not happy that Billy has this, the Irish Billy has decided this is the best way to go. It seems overthought. Like, why did you think a helicopter was going to be the right way to leave in the first place? How did you not know there was a helicopter that was near you guys? I feel like there could have been some more recon. That helicopter came in really fast. It was close. This whole scene with the shooting has only been going on for maybe last week. So 3 to 4 minutes. So that helicopter was 4 minutes away. Hmm. However far that is. I just would think that they would know where that was. Yet another nitpicky thing about the Impossible Mission Force. At least they did bring along both a defibrillator, we'll learn about later, and a sonogram, which is a pretty good tool. It's very Batman that he already had this available.
It's 007. Like he has the exact thing he needs from Q that's going to come in handy.
Well, we always, that's the thing we get with, from now on, that's what we get from Benji for a little while. Everything Benji hands him, you're like, well, he's going to use that.
Yeah.
you know, it's he's at some point he's going to go underwater. At some point he's going to do this. You know, I kind of like in the later movies, Benji no longer hands him gadgets. So it's better. Like he's no longer like the tech guy or the guy who checks the hard drives. He's just kind of an agent, which is more fun. It's more fun to have Benji as an agent because he's like a puppy, but we're not there yet. We're still in this minute. Do you guys have any other notes on this one?
I'm good. Yeah, the tension ramps up in this one, but no.
Well, you know what? Since this minute doesn't have a ton going on, let's move to the next minute. I wonder if I've done a good job. I wonder if I did a good job. Please, Daddy, tell me, did I do a good job?
Well done, Hugh.
Oh, I did. It was well done, and I'm so happy. Thanks.
Good job.
I felt like he was just talking to me that time.
Yeah.
Minute 24, and the last minute we'll be going over starts with him finding a Tylenol inside of her head. She's had a Tylenol in there. That's that. You know what? You should never put Tylenols up in your sinus cavity. They'll go in your brain. They'll kill you. And it ends with it with kind of just very sad Ethan. Very sad. He's screaming and it's almost like he's waiting on something. He's so close and she's in pain and there's nothing he can do. So this is a ramped up scene.
This is also the scene that has Maggie Q falling out of the helicopter.
It does.
Which just seems so unnecessary to me. I understand they're trying to like, as you said, ramp up the tension, and it's just like this happened, but it's like
she's next minute.
She's a trained agent.
I think you're a minute ahead of us, Jarf.
Jarf, I think you're a minute ahead of us. We're in 24.
I have that as a note for 24, but
no, she hasn't fallen out yet. That's for next week, man.
Rewind it. Rewind the tape.
But we do get the missile, the blade, and the almost death of a goat, a German goat, by way of Palm Springs.
Palm Springs, German goat.
Yes. This helicopter, you know, these helicopters always seem like they don't move very quickly. It happens a lot in my favorite movie, The A-Team. They're flying like a medical helicopter, and they have to like bank left and right. Yeah. And it always seems harder than the attack helicopters. So again, I don't understand the choice of the helicopter, Irish Billy. I feel like if you're in charge of helicopters, maybe get a cool one, maybe get a Jarf. Well, the Jarf size, but let's be honest, not all of them can fit in.
Yeah.
Maybe I think
that's what it comes down to.
Maggie Q could sit on Luther's lap and then Tom Cruise could sit on Maggie Q's lap. And then I guess.
Well, Tom Cruise is pocket size. So.
Yes. And then Carrie Russell could sit on Tom Cruise's lap.
They could put everybody in a basket underneath the helicopter.
Oh, kind of like MASH?
Yeah.
Or like another Mission Impossible movie?
Yeah.
Is Carrie Russell actually even smaller than Tom Cruise?
Oh,
probably not. Well,
maybe mass-wise. Maybe mass-wise, but she's might be hot taller.
But someone checks. Like super dense Tom Cruise molecules.
Well, yeah, you've seen he's all torso.
Yeah.
He's made of thickness. He's got that I can't remember the guy's name already. Thick boy.
Kylo Ren.
Yeah, he's got Kylo Ren. He's got Kylo Ren energy.
Yeah.
Going on in that bod.
Just condensed down to
imagine to all of frame. Kylo Ren's mass but in the body of Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
That's how thick he is. With two C's.
I like the this ultrasound of the, you know, it's a healthy baby bomb. Like
it is. Your baby's got all the things it needs: nitrate, nitroglycerin, magnesium.
I think it surprises me that it's like in color, and it shows that the casing of the bomb is showing up yellow and the insides are red. So I don't know if this is a thermal thing and it's putting off just enough heat.
You know, I don't know if it's thermal.
And somehow it knows the chemical composition.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Well, because I guess everything has a certain heat signature. I'm just kind of saying this.
No. Everything has a certain boiling point, but things can be whatever temperature.
Then this is a boiling point scanner.
Yeah, he's cooking your brain.
That little green light is actually cooking everything it touches. And it just is like, oh, this is magnesium. oh, that's definitely nitroglycerin. I probably shouldn't heat that up anymore.
Oh, that's just brain that I just cooked.
And it's our first step into how bad the bad guy is. Like, he's willing to put this thing in someone's brain, and we're all like, oh, is it gonna blow up the helicopter? Nope. It's just a bomb for your, it's just a personal bomb.
Yeah.
So Dr. Tom Cruise has decided that he's going to shock her. This is all happening while they're being shot at by missiles. Mm-hmm. He's going to use the defibrillator and shock her. I love how defibrillators are used as a catch-all for many things in movies. Chris, have you ever been defibrillated?
Yes.
Okay. Recently?
Within the last 10 years, 15 years, yes. In the last 15 years, yes.
Okay. Was it because of an emergency, or was it like, were they doing it like, I know they also defibrillate like some pacemaker type things have defibrillators.
Well, I too had a bomb in my head.
Oh, okay.
It was the only way that they get, no. Honestly, I was crashing and they used it to get my heart going.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
They got to save this podcast.
I hope you made it.
Yeah.
I think I did. Either that or I'm a ghost. This is all.
You're not on video.
It's true. No, he's not on. If he turns on video, his Zoom shits the bed. So.
Exactly.
And that's the only thing a ghost would say. Woo.
Exactly. Ooh.
Maybe he uploaded his consciousness into Zoom, so he could continue the podcast forever.
What a horrible life.
Zooming through the universe.
Yes. So you have been defibrillated. I read online, because you got to look up this kind of stuff. Can a defibrillator kill you? The answer was no. And I went, what? What do you mean it's no? What they're saying is, if you are already in a point where you need a defibrillator, the defibrillator won't kill you. It's only going to help you.
But if you're alive and you don't need it.
But they said it won't. I also looked up, will a defibrillator hurt if you're awake? And of course the answer
is going to
hurt. Yeah, it hurts a lot because you're being electrocuted.
Did you look that up by like watching an old episode of Jackass or something?
Yes. That's how I look up everything. Those are my Wikipedia and my Google searches. I have all the Jackass movies on Blu-ray.
And I just scrub through it.
I'm like, oh, I gotta look for somebody to get electrocuted. Oh, I think it does hurt. Huh, you shouldn't put that on your scrotum. Who knew? Who knew? Maybe don't shove those up your butt. Okay, cool. No, so I was like, okay, I think a defibrillator in movies is more of a, they do go with the, if you shock somebody once, they die. Mm-hmm. And if you shock them again, they live. That's always how they've said defibrillators work. If you're fine and you get defibrillated, your heart stops.
He does something like that in Casino Royale. He's got a purge system of whatever poison he's been laced with, and
was it magnesium?
It must have been.
Stuff will kill you.
Yeah, except when it'll dissipate with electricity.
Yeah, they do that a lot in movies as the cure for poison. I did not look up on Jackass. Will a defibrillator cure you if you're poisoned?
Will a defibrillator cure a hangover?
Mm.
That's the Jackass.
I've only ever seen them used in movies. And in Doctor Strange, it allows your astral projection to have energy that can kill another astral projection. You know, like if you got to kill Chris, because Chris is now just a giant astral projection going around. We just need to know we need to defibrillate ourselves and then attack him with our astral forms. Guys, these are just notes you need to take down for when Chris comes after you. So Dr. Ethan, not Dr. Strange, gets it out. And while he's doing this, you know, Irish Billy's doing his best in that they shoot the missile at him. It misses them. And he goes, that was just luck.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
He says that was just luck. And we only get one of those. Mm-hmm. Somehow, like, he has tapped into the logic of the movie. And he knows, like, we just used a plot point to evade being hit by that missile, but we don't have another plot point.
Are you talking RPG now? Are we playing a role playing game right now? We're spending a plot point. I just spent one of my plot points so we could evade that missile. Okay, good to know. The script says we only get one.
It can't happen again. That would be boring for the audience.
And the script also says Irish
Billy looks at the camera.
Yes, he's like,
yeah. The next two missiles are going to require some sort of
trickery,
trickery, and or yeah.
I like that. I don't remember if it happens right now or if it's in the next minute. Maybe in the next minute when we find out how long the. It's the next minute. We'll find out how long the defibrillator actually is going to take. That's always been in movies too, like how long it takes for it to charge up.
Yeah.
Chris, as someone who's been defibrillated, did they have to wait on it to charge, or was it already pre-charged?
Yeah, that's somebody else, because I was out of it.
Okay. Well, you're probably not the right person to ask. I read
that it only takes 9 seconds for
30 seconds seems like a lot.
Yeah.
But I feel like this is a quick, I don't know. I feel like other movies and TV shows would make a longer recharge time, but maybe not.
We'll have to check. Is it 30 seconds in real time?
Yeah.
When we get to that minute, we're close. We're close. I think it's going to be next week. Anything else on this you want to talk about?
No, I definitely think it's a CGI, whatever you call these things.
I almost call turbine. It a wiper blade. That's not what it is. It's a,
it gets the turbines, the missile hits the base of it and the base starts to collapse. And then it cuts to the top of it crushing a van or something. And all
why
of
was,
seems...
why, is it another van? It's another Luther's backup van. It's his backup van. Oh no. Oh, it's the B team.
Yeah.
Hey, we'll wait out here. No one will ever come out here in this wind farm. Oh, Jesus Christ. That's the last thing they see. It's just this giant windmill crush them.
Probably curse, just some German teens out trying to,
get high.
Get lucky. Get high.
Find some sheep.
Get lucky.
Get lucky. Hey, babe, you want to go to the wind turbine field? It blows.
Clean energy. And
clean energy. Are you hot for clean energy? I brought a spectrometer with me. I could tell what temperature you burn at, baby. Yeah. Well, this is a good place as any to, I say that cause we're literally trying this format out for the first time. We're going to slap some tech of the ep into this cause we haven't done it yet. And I feel like we deserve it as a group. So let's, I'll just be Irish Billy. We're going into tech of the ep now. Oh my God, Alexa's talking to me. Shut up, Alexa. Alexa, stop. She's just talking to me right now. Give it a second.
They should have added Alexa instead of Irish Billy as the helicopter pilot.
Is everyone inside the helicopter? Right. I will now try to evade the other helicopter. Yeah, we know. So tech of the eps, you get to decide from all three episodes what ones you like and if there was one you thought stood out. So I'll just randomly pick Jerf.
My tech of the ep is windmills for that sexy, clean, renewable energy.
God, I told you guys, he is so majestic. He's such a positive dude. Okay. Even windmills that fall over and kill kids as they try and fornicate in Germany.
I was just letting the minute play out, and the van that it crushes, the headlights are definitely on. So there's absolutely somebody in the cab of that van. Oh my God. It's crushed.
Some guy who's just like Jarvis, just like, man, I'm so glad I work with clean energy. This is the best job ever. There's no stress. Holy God.
What are those helicopters doing?
I'm making the world safe for my grandkids. Oh,
no. I'll never get to see them. Oh, my wife just told me she was pregnant. It's my last day. It's a nighttime. I finished my shift. I'm finally done. Woo, gonna go get a whatever a German Michelob is called. Michelob, maybe. Nothing better. Nothing better than gratuitous violence. Travis, what about you?
I like the handy sonogram device, just the standard issue in case you have a bomb inside you that I need to detect sort of a device that.
I also wonder how thick you have to be. Like, how much can it get through? Like, is it just, I don't know. It was a one, so it seems like it'll go anywhere. I obviously
oh, will.
Yeah. It seems like it, I didn't mean it goes there, but into your, you know, your work mouth. But what I was thinking was, though, like, I assume the IMF have a lot of things implanted into them, being homing chips, other things being stuck into them a lot of times. Like, we're going to cut open your arm, or we're going to stick the secret message in there. No, this seems like a terrible idea. No, don't worry. We have a scanner. We can find it later. Okay. And, you know, like, I have a feeling there's a lot of, I have a feeling there's also in that same bag, a injection device that allows them to inject capsules with anything they want into it. Like, you just like roll up a piece of paper really tightly and stick it in the capsule, and they'll shoot it into you. You're like, oh, Jesus Christ. Don't worry, for later. We'll get it out. Okay. So that's a good one. Chris, what are you?
I'm going with the brain ultrasound thing.
The brain ultrasound thing also.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going with it because of its color coding for easy clarification of materials, and it's a cool little UI for being able to actually tell what everything is, which I really enjoyed. That makes me very happy. And it's and also I like kind of the warm orangish hue. Well done, hue. I like the hue of the inside of your guts, or kind of like on autumn, for lack of a better term.
UI is tone. User interface, right?
What?
UI is user interface?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry to be so technical, Jarf.
Well, this is tech of the app, so...
Texts of the apps. All right. We did it. We got through that. Now, what happens? How do we do this now? We have Fan Fiction Friday. Do we do one every time? Yes. So you guys are going to get to do two different times. Going to get to do Fan Fiction Friday, because you're doing this week and you're going to do next week.
You can't fight the friction.
A fan fiction. Normally these fan fictions are written and then never seen again. Like, no one ever like does anything with them. This one was written in August of 2015. It's called Sedona. But the best part about it is it was revised in January 1st of 2019. Somebody had a New Year's resolution. Like, you know what? I've let that story languish for far too long. 4 years later, I'm going to go back in and change it. So this person went in and I guess made changes to it. So I'm super excited for this. I will read you the quick explanation of what it is. It's Sedona by Shearwater is the name of the person. And when Ethan's plane is bombed after a mission, he is presumed dead. His team grieves even as they hold out hope for his survival. And Ethan, injured but alive, well, he just spoiled the reveal, struggles across England to evade whoever has targeted him. But with no safe way of contacting his friends and new unknown enemies on his tail, it's going to be a long run home. So it's basically Impossible Journey, the thing with the dogs and the animals, but with a human being that I guess he can't talk to other people or borrow their cell phones. This was done in 2015 and 2019. There's no reason why we couldn't say, hey, can I borrow your cell phone for a second? So just know that's where we are. I'm not going to.
There's no safe way of contacting his friends.
Right. Why? He can just get on someone. Jenny's phone that he literally just meets. He can just say, hey, can I use your phone for like 15 seconds?
Surveillance.
Okay. Well, we will read some of this and we will see. We'll see what we have you guys for 2 weeks. So we're not going to go through all the chapters. We'll probably only read maybe the first chapter tonight. And all four of us will pick parts and do our best. Who wants to be Ethan?
I'll take a stab at Ethan.
All right. Let's see. Who else is there?
That's a good place to start.
Well, it doesn't have like a list of the names. It's not like a... Right. Let's just see how this goes.
There's a lot of like exposition yes. stuff, like a lot of stage direction.
All right. I'll read some stage direction. Chris, Jarf, jump in when you want to. Anytime you see lines that are not Ethan, feel free. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. This first chapter is called Fallen Angels. Even after all he had seen, the sky never ceased to amaze him. Well, that's a great way to start this.
Oh, wait. Aren't you going to read the little intro?
I don't want to read her little, because she actually did work on this. I don't want to make fun of her.
It does say that it takes place about a year after yeah. Ghost Protocol, before yes. Rogue Nation. So only spoilers through the fourth movie.
Yeah. So only spoilers through 1 through 4. It's fine. Ethan gazed out the window of the jet, drinking in the magnificence of the clouds and land that was growing steadily less detailed beneath him as the plane climbed into the air. Of all the kinds of adrenaline he had experienced. Let's talk about that. How many kinds of adrenaline are there? Adrenaline. Are they talking like fear boners?
Yeah. Fear boners. You know, is it sex adrenaline?
War boner.
Fear.
There's like, very, some of us may be rewatching The League right now, so there's going to be some League references. Okay, move on. And there were many. Oh, they say it. Yeah. Of all the kinds of adrenaline he had experienced, and there were many. Not a doctor. The rush that came from being high in the air of now that's specific.
That's the kind of adrenaline.
That's fear. I have that kind of adrenaline. That's the fear that I'm going to die. The rush that came from being high in the air of seeing the spectacular blue sky thrown out above him like the ceiling of the gods. You know what? This is actually written pretty well so far. Enough to make him wax poetic. The agent scowled, then chuckled to himself at the relief of being skybound rose with the altitude. Poetic. Fine. Let it not be said that all agents are crass, unthinking minions of espionage. Okay. I love that this is his inner monologue, that he's just thinking this.
Can we change the Facebook group to Minions of Espionage?
Of course. No longer be the IMF, we're now the Minions of Espionage. Ethan felt a shadow pass over him. Also not how shadows work, but that's okay. Of all the shadows he had felt pass over him, and there are a lot. That was me. Ethan felt a shadow pass over him, his chuckle dying, not all. But some. Okay. I don't know what this means. Okay. It doesn't matter. The mission was over. He was going home.
Wait, what was the... Was it a literal shadow like somebody walked by?
I don't know yet, Jarf. Or, we're not there. I don't know.
Is it a metaphorical shadow?
I don't know. We're going to find out.
Is he on a passenger plane? Is this
the shadow of death?
Maybe. I don't know what it is. The mission was over. He was going home, away from England. He's not from England. Away from Burns and Harvey, the two knuckleheads in the forward compartment with not enough humanity between them to fill a thimble. Wow.
Wow.
I don't remember Ethan being this like agitated about people in his line of work with him.
Judgy little bitch.
Yeah. Ethan wondered for the 100th time why the secretary had sent him on this random mission in London with the two others, agents he had never worked or trained with. And frankly, after this week's experience, he could have lived without doing either. Talk about crass. He thought Sean Ambrose was eager to get his gun off. Oh, I already love this. Ethan's old double could have taken a lesson or two about itchy trigger fingers from these characters. Oh, well, they were new and they would learn. Oh, well,
oh, well,
oh, well, all the things I just said, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Ethan had already managed to knock some sense into his head, and he was flying home now to the people he really wanted to work with, his team, which for some reason he wasn't allowed to work with.
I'll be the flight attendant.
Okay.
Agent Hun?
Ethan looked up from the window to see the private jet's single flight attendant pushing a drink cart down the aisle. Was she the shadow? Don't know. She was new, he noticed. If her stiff posture and flighty eyes worried about doing something wrong was anything to go by.
Hold on.
Okay.
does a private jet need a drink cart?
It's a big jet, I guess. Cause he said that the other people were in the forward compartment. I think that she's getting like economy flying mixed up with private jets. Normally there aren't more than one compartment in a private jet. let's be honest. How many? I mean, we've all been in private jets, right? So we all know.
Oh, yeah,
I'm in a only private one jet right now.
Yeah, it's really echoey. Is that why Jarf is so echoey?
Well, you have to pressurize it. You know,
is it because you're near the spectacular blue sky, the ceiling of the gods? Is that why you're?
Right. It's those new wood floors that he had installed in his private jet.
Never have wood floors, but it's a rookie podcasting mistake for people with jets.
I haven't got my throw rug for my private jet yet.
Oh, I know. I'll tie the whole jet together. Yeah.
No, thank you. I'll probably take you up on that offer later, though. I appreciate it.
She smiled back nervously and rolled on to first class
like
on the
line
private
was
jet.
Meant to be said with some innuendo.
Yeah, it feels kind of horny, but yeah, I like. Hey, that's why I like having Travis on. He's very pure. He's gonna read it like he thinks it should be read.
Yeah, he gave it a nice urbane read. Like, yeah, it's urbane. Probably will take you up on that specific offer of a drink and nothing more later, though. Thank you very much.
This sentence is hard to parse. He'd sleep later. Okay. That's the sentence. He'd sleep later, period. Dregs of adrenaline, and there are a lot of them, and focus from the op were still working their way through his system, poking him constantly to stay alert, stay aware. He was exhausted, his face tight with tiredness, but he knew from experience that sleep would not come for a while.
That's not sleep. That's plastic surgery.
Yeah, my face is so tight. I'm so tired. For now, though, he was content with seeing the British countryside fall away. He settled back at the window. Benji was British. That's a sentence. Benji was British.
Period.
Period. Maybe his home was somewhere down there. No, wait, he was from Manchester. Ethan thought he told him once. Remember this is who he's trying to get home to, the people he really loves, his team, who I can barely remember where you are from.
The next sentence.
Yeah. Ethan thought he told him once, farther north. You mean that sentence?
Yeah, farther north, period.
He still sometimes went back on leave to visit his family. Well, you remembered that, but you didn't remember where he's from? Fine. Where was Benji now, or the rest of his team? It had been a week since Ethan left, which, considering some of his missions in the past, was not that long. But a lot could happen in 7 days, especially to an agent.
I don't get the sense that these guys all hang out Monday through Friday, you know, every week of the year. Like,
not seen Mission Impossible 3, where they obviously have an office and desks, and they go to them.
Yeah.
It's just like, hey, Bob. How's the grind? Oh, great. I killed four people yesterday. Cool.
Yeah.
I think that an agent would have a sharper mind for details about the people that he works with and not be like, oh, I always forget this. Where did he say he lived? Because that the whole thing with spies is it's like someone reads off a 400-digit number.
Well, yeah, you've seen Rogue Nation. He completely memorizes every black market bank account that they have. But he can't remember where. Well, you know what? It's got to go somewhere, and Benji's freaking family is going to have to leave my brain for me to remember this number. But Benji was British. let's have each of you read one line of this, and then we'll wrap up Fan Fiction Friday for this week because we got to move on to the next one because I don't want to go over too much.
Okay, well, I'm going to take one for the team, and I'm going to take on this first sentence because it's a doozy. Let's see.
You can continue.
When he'd left, Jane had been finishing an intense secondary course on hand-to-hand combat. She was already a second-degree black belt in Taekwondo, but after Cobalt, she'd wanted grittier street fighting skills. Like she wasn't already terrifying enough with axe kicks and the serious left hook.
Both now, not Taekwondo moves, I don't think. Axe kicks.
Is that just like a deodorant for Chad's?
Hey, man, you smell like axe kicks. Like axe has a spray and its name is kicks. Like this smells like kicking.
K-I-X.
Yeah. Like the cereal, contested mother approved?
Yeah. Do we know who Jane is?
No.
Okay.
Let's see.
Let's see.
Jane is what's her name? From the fourth movie.
Oh yeah. So this is after Ghost Protocol. So Jane, yeah. Yes, okay.
But Jane has gotten an upgrade because now she could fight dirty.
As if she didn't fight dirty in that movie.
All right, Chris, you read this next little section. He'd missed her mission. No.
Nope. He'd missed her this mission. Her level-headedness and her no bullshit attitude. Jane would put the Nimrods up forward in their places in about 10 seconds flat if she ever got her hands on them.
She fights dirty now. All right.
Give him an axe kick.
Travis, finish us off with whatever this whole thing is.
All right. And aside from wanting to waste every asset they got their hands on as soon as their usefulness ran out, Burns and Harvey couldn't find their way around the tech scene to save their lives. He'd longed for his computer genius when they'd been wasting time wrestling through firewalls and coded letters, stuff that Ethan knew for a fact Benji could breeze through before his first cup of coffee. And he'd missed the Brit's comedian quality, the release he always seemed to provide in a bad situation. Burns and Harvey had little to no sense of humor.
Oh, man, that is
Fan Fiction Friday.
I'm very happy with this. Actually, it's well written in that the sentences, you think they all make sense, but then you get sentences like Benji was British. Let's see. Oh, well,
farther north.
Yeah, I feel like there's she doesn't know that there should be commas.
Yeah,
you can use a comma and just make that part of the sentence.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, they were new. That's how I would say it. Not, oh, well, they were new and they would learn. You know, it's but it's not bad. We'll find out why he's such a fussy baby later, maybe next week. And also maybe we'll find out. Maybe Burns and Harvey will actually talk. That'd be nice. I'm looking down a little bit. It seems to be it seems to ramp up a little bit in the next section. So, well, thank you guys for being on for Fan Fiction Friday for our first episode back from the hiatus for, our first three-part episode is one episode, which is going longer than I thought it would, but hey, that's how it works. And, why don't you guys promote yourselves, and what podcast you guys are on and what you're doing right now.
So I can be found over at Real Comic Heroes. That's Real with two E's. And over there, we we go through a big list of comic book movies in release order. And we just review them and have some fun over there. You can find it pretty much everywhere, Real Comic Heroes. And then I have a completed Movies by Minutes project. I did the director's cut of Watchmen a couple of years ago now. So you can find Watchmen Minute just about anywhere podcasts are sold.
Nice. Jarf, what about you?
Wait. So I also have a completed Movies by Minute project. I did Joe versus the Volcano with friend of the pod, Tierney. And that can be found at Joe versus Minute. And then coming up, and this is the first podcast that I'm mentioning this on, I am covering Dazed and Confused one song at a time. And
when's that coming out, Jarf?
Now, Jonathan's already made fun of me because I've started hyping it up, even though it's going to drop in the fall. But I do start recording this spring. So if people are interested in being guests, hit me up. You can find it on Twitter and Instagram at DazedConfused33. It's Dazed and Confused 33 and a third.
Awesome. Yeah, well, our other podcast you were on, we've stopped letting people promote. We're just like, I don't care anymore. It's just whatever. That podcast. We also have, I have another podcast called The Cast and the Furious. I do with my friend Murren. Totally a different format in that we do chunks. Although we're getting very chunky on this. We're starting to chunk it up. I think I like that format better.
And you're going to get chunkier as the movies go on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's just part of growing old, Jarf. So, Chris, what do you got?
Nothing. This is what I'm doing.
All right, great. As usual, always the thumb on the pulse of podcasting. Mm-hmm. No, this is what I'm doing.
This is what I'm doing.
All right, cool. Well, Chris, it's great to have you back. I am so glad you survived that defibrillation.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So until next week, where we'll be back with these goofballs. Well, I have to make them go home, and then I have to make them come back. So we'll see you guys next week. Please bring your PJs so we can have a little snuggle time afterwards, because I do enjoy that. And until next week, I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I've just got to refuel the jet, and I'll be back for next week. I've been Jarf.
Got to wax those hardwood floors.
This minute.
Jarf jet.
Jarf jet. It's really thin. Jet. It's a really thin jet. Don't, it only seats one person, but you have to like lay down sideways. It's not comfortable. So it's so echoey. Until next time, this minute will self-destruct.
Episode of MI3.